commission to order. Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so the agenda, does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda tonight?
Just that our attorney is running a little bit late. She will be here for the executive session, which we need for legal issues. And so depending on how it goes, we might have to call for a short recess and then reconvene when she arrives.
Okay. If that's the case, then we'll move on to the, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Yep, I'll make the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I have a question in regards to approval of the minutes.
Okay.
I don't really know how that process works in regards if there's an issue or if there's a concern, if a correction needs to be made. What I'm referencing specifically is the regular meeting on February 12th. And there was one of the items that we discussed on that day was the environmental fee. And there was a lot of information that was presented and so on that day in regards to the environmental fee. And since that time, I've received some information that is somewhat contrary to what the information that was presented on that day in regards to how the fee was distributed specifically to the tier three and so on. I'm just bringing it up. I don't know. I'm not familiar, so I need to be educated on this.
Yeah.
Is this something that, because there is some information I think that does need to be corrected because it looks to me like from what I'm being shown here that there was indeed a significant amount that was allocated towards the tier three
right.
environmental response. So
now correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the minutes are to reflect what actually was transpired at the meetings, which would be the incomplete information. And so the minutes would accurately reflect the incomplete information, but then the completion of that information to be made accurate would be taken up at a subsequent workshop.
Okay. Now we've got the enviro fees on the workshop agenda coming up on the 12th.
Right.
So we could,
right.
you know, review all that at that time.
Yeah, we'll just make sure that
if there's an amendment that needs to be made, that it can be made then.
Yeah, we'll okay. just make sure that gets on the agenda
yeah,
for the
reference back to
yeah, reference
this
back to this.
Meeting, whatever the day was.
But that would have to be done at the meeting now, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah. That you're right though. That's it's really not. We don't want to. We can't really amend the minutes because that's what the minutes reflect is what actually happened.
Yeah.
So we'll just. But now that we know, we'll just make that an agenda item on the next workshop.
But just for the future, you know, if you read through here and we miss whether it's a grammatical typo or we got something wrong that, you know, we said Commissioner Hanke made the motion, but it's actually you can bring it up and we can correct it at this point and just say approve yeah. the minutes as amended.
Well, this is one of those items that's on the recording, but it's not in the written minutes, and so
is that referring to this?
Yes, sir.
Same thing.
Yeah,
I'm with
you. Yeah, and that's something you know the different commissioners over the years. We had a few years there where boy, we had really really lengthy written minutes, you know, virtually almost verbatim, and you know the commission changed out and. You know, they wanted to go to the more shortened versions because by that time we started recording everything. We weren't recording them necessarily the way we are now. So that's the commission, you know, if you want longer minutes, shorter minutes, so we do have the recordings for everything now. So.
Yeah, personally, I like the minutes where they are annotated and kind of condensed, but with time stamped so that you can go back and listen because to me, the audible minutes are just crucial, you know, so I understand the context and so forth. So, I mean, if you want to change them, we can, but I find that really helpful to go back and listen. So anyway, other than the minutes, which we're probably going to leave as standard, is there any other changes or anything to the consent agenda? Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion.
I second.
All in approval. Favor?
Aye.
Okay, public comments not related to the agenda. Bill.
So I received
an email from Eric Taylor, one of the constituents out of the airport. And since we typically have this annual kind of state of the port kind of presentation that Larry and Jim usually give, and since we've had a majority of the board, majority of the commission has changed seats now, Eric would like to suggest that perhaps all of the commissioners come to the state of the port meeting whenever that takes place.
It's usually the first Saturday in April, so it's not too far away.
Right, so that, of course, would have to be publicly announced as a meeting and that kind of thing. The other thing that he brought up was the possibility of reinstating the airport days as a port-sponsored event, and maybe that could be an item on a workshop that people could attend and work through the details. It seems to me that even if the port were to sponsor it, there's so many manpower issues associated with that it might not be workable, but it certainly should be something that could be looked at.
I mean, that might be a good topic to address on the April meeting too, with the pilots.
Is that then out at the airport? You do that out at the airport, the state of the port?
Yeah, it's we usually do it in one of the hangars, either BJ's or Eric's.
So you're not talking about a commission meeting, you're talking about just a meeting?
Right. This is our annual staff, you know, tell them what the FAA is up to, what the funding looks like, any projects that we're looking at doing. I'm sure AWOS will be a topic this year. And normally, you know, Dave Thompson and Leif normally showed up to those. I don't know if you showed up to any of them or not,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not a formal meeting, not taking action on anything, but we still notify the new station. And I can give you some background on previous airport days. We've never actually been the sponsor. The EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, used to sponsor it. And insurance got so expensive, they just gave it up. Yeah, just gave it up. And you know, but as Bill said, you know, the manpower issues, traffic control, things like that. We also provide the porta potties and stuff, but it was one of those things that's kind of dwindled out.
And towards the end, there was probably a group of, I don't know, half a dozen airport tenants, denizens, what have you, that were manning all of the traffic and corralling all the people and all that stuff for a very long day, in addition to all the planning. And I think that that's something, regardless of how it's funded, that's something that needs to be looked at. And
how many years since it was last done, Bill?
I want to say
four years.
Yeah.
So Linda Swisher passed away.
She was the driving force behind it.
We've had a couple though since she passed
away. Gail and I did a couple. So there's probably only been 3 years, Jim. But still, it was something that I think the public enjoyed, but I think that the Jefferson County Pilots Association, just as an organization, was not capable of you know, bringing the people that were required to bear on it. I don't know, you know, maybe Jerry's kids could be enrolled in this, but something's got to give on that front, regardless of how it's funded.
Okay, I sense some more public comments from the contingent of Puget Sound Anglers. I see seated out there. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, I'm Ron Hayes. I'm a small boat owner and a member of the Puget Sound Anglers. And I would like to offer my support and recommendation that the port continue with the project of applying for a grant for a second boat ramp. As I understand it, the state RCO office will pay 75% of the total cost, which would include the cost that would be expended to build the ramp and also the costs that have already been expended last year and the year before on applying for permits and any of the other engineering and design activities that went on. So I hope that the port will submit the request. And I was talking to Brad, he mentioned some other really crucial things that are coming up. And I hope that we don't just put everything on hold and just focus on one large capital maintenance project, that we continue to look at all the areas within the port district. And the boat ramp, of course, is one small area, but we have a really good opportunity to get some grant money, some really big grant money. And I hope that that we'll do that. If we get the grant and something else happens and we have to do emergency repairs over Port Hudson, you know, then obviously that has to come first, and we got to do that. But to do nothing, to not do anything to go after grant money, I think would be a disservice to our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Jerry?
I'm Jerry Johnson. I'm secretary of the East Jefferson chapter of Puget Sound Anglers here in Port Townsend. Our chapter is 110% supportive of expanding the boat ramp here. We've gathered over 170 signatures on our petition, and I need to know from you, when is the drop-dead date when we submit all of our signature petitions? Is that later in March?
The application due date is 1 July. And, you know, something of that sort would actually be good to include as part of our briefing that we have to. We have to do a very formal PowerPoint briefing to the RCO committee, which I sit on, by the way. So I'm not saying this, but you know, I'll treat everybody fairly. So anytime before, I'd say we got to put that briefing together probably
May.
Yeah, I'd submit it not later than mid-April.
Okay, so we
can just drop it off to me.
A month or so.
Yeah.
Because there is support for this, not only in North Olympic Peninsula, but also Kitsap County, also on the other side of the water. There's some 3,500 members in the Puget Sound Angler, 16 chapters. And I think some of you have heard via email that there are trailer boaters that don't come here because of the inadequate ramp and inadequate parking. At the North Olympic Peninsula Salmon Derby, on Monday, I was at Gardner. Jay Cameron and I took second place, and I had the opportunity to talk to Dan Tatum, who was the chair of the committee that puts on that Gardner Derby, and he indicated they would like to move that derby to here in Port Townsend, but he said the lack of adequate ramp. Of course, this ramp is an improvement over the Gardner ramp, which is pretty primitive, but this derby, they sold over 600 tickets, and when there's a lot of money, an opportunity to be won, $10,000 for first prize, fishermen, trailer boaters come from a long ways away, and that would be a definite enhancement to the tourist picture here in Port Townsend. April 5th, we have the All-PSA Derby that's taking place. It's based down in the Marina Room in Point Hudson, and we'll have a weigh-in station here at the fishing hole. But there are other derbies, there are other fishermen that would like to come here, and to expand this ramp, enhance the parking opportunities would be probably one of the best investments we could make right now.
Yeah, the mid-April, Jerry, would be good, because then we could see the signatures too. How many signatures you end up on your petition?
What's that?
Well, getting that petition in here mid-April would be good for the commissioners to see it and the number of signers you have on the petition before we have to decide But I would think that would come up on the agenda at the end of April, then?
Well, what I'd like to do is, once we get the briefing put together, is actually present it to the commission.
Okay.
Maybe at the, you know, May workshop or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, so again, if it's in April, that's great.
Okay, we should be wrapped up gathering, I think, by the end of March or early April. Thank you.
Teresa?
My name is Teresa Barris, I'm the executive director of the Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce. I'm here on behalf of almost 467 members. I also serve on several tourism commissions and lodging and tax groups in the county, and I was asked to review several emails and to really look at the boat ramp opportunity and the enhancement of outdoor activities in regards to tourism and how it impacts our economy from a visitor front. And I'd just like you to know that before that next meeting in April, you say, I will be working on getting some numbers, I'm hoping, I mean, that we can look at some lodging and tax numbers and look at some stats that will kind of help assess what kind of impact those kinds of resources have on this area. But I'm very hopeful, and I actually am really grateful that this port is looking at ways to be innovative and really help with access to water. We have one of the most beautiful areas in the planet with access to great fishing. I was a child of a fisherman father. He took me out really regularly, so I know what it's like on those crush days in the port, and have firsthand experience of that. So just to let you know, we're looking at this also, and would love to come up with some numbers and work with you however we can to make sure that those businesses that are just hanging on by a thread sometimes, especially during those shoulder seasons, that they feel supported and they feel heard, and that we don't lose more opportunity. You know, even 200 or so boats that come into town and stay in our hotels, or even if they're on their boat and they're going out and eating, or their wives are shopping, whatever it may be, that we keep whatever we can here. And I understand from the several emails and from the letter campaigns that have gone around that it really has been an issue, and people have come as far as, you know, 70 plus miles to just turn around and kind of in despair. It's a really disappointing weekend. So I'll be happy to work with you and work on behalf of our businesses on that end. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Pete.
Pete Langley, school director. I guess a couple of comments just listening to the boat ramp thing. Reviewing a 1990 master plan for Jefferson County and the port. Obviously, we've spent a lot of years, 25 years, studying boat launching ramps. Nothing's really gotten done, and it's really frustrating for me to sit here and watch these people desperately trying to get a new ramp when we've left Gardner, the Hood Canal Bridge, Mats, all the rest of them totally undeveloped or unmaintenance, padlock for one. The boat school could hardly use that or anybody else. And now we're talking about this amount of money to be spent in town proper when really the port has an overall picture and objective. I completely understand about the tourism, the need to get people out on the water, but we got to make sure that the money is well spent and well done for everybody. So I really hope some other alternatives may be taken a look at. I really think that a strapped, single man operated, that the public can operate at Point Hudson with the parking in the back where Pete parks cars for the other, might be a really inexpensive option to do. There's some things we really ought to consider. Just the water, the maintenance of your trailers. If you were able to launch your boat without getting your trailer wet, how much would that save? I think, I know the grant's important. Go for getting money to get it, but grant money still comes from somewhere. Somebody had to pay out of pocket to get it there so we could come and spend it. But I'd like to really look at the other boat launching grants and the other opportunities we've missed and take a good look at why we don't have what we should have had 20 years ago already in place. Hopefully you guys can work on that. Yeah.
So Steve, you've been working on this for a long time now, and some of the other options that Elaine, they mentioned, I mean, has any of that been incorporated into this painfully long process you've been through with coming up with the latest plan that's been developed?
And, well, he was talking about, well, Havelock, for example, we looked at that a while ago. And the problem with Havelock is we had a, this is before I was, way before I was a commissioner, there was a plan to have some parking where the Wooden Boat Foundation put their tent building up there. And that got taken away from us by a county commission edict. And so essentially now there's no parking there. And so that's why it's not been maintained.
And we actually scored the second highest in the state for the grant that year with RCO. And we're given $500,000 to do an elevated ramp. Because there you got the sedimentation issue with the beach. And the state wanted, you know, Fish and Wildlife and DNR wanted the sediment to continue. So an elevated ramp, similar to the one, some of you probably been out Silverdale for that ramp, very similar to that. So we had the money, we had to deal with the boat school to use that upper plateau for parking, because the only way we could get the grant money was to assure the state that we would have upland parking. We don't own any of the uplands, we just own the beach there. And the county, for various reasons, refusal to change the zoning, we weren't able to develop that property at that time, and we had to turn the grant back in. So,
hey Jerry, I got a question for you. What, as an angler, any of you guys, what do you think of like what goes on with Edmonds or Kingston, for that matter, as far as their elevators? And
it's expensive.
It's expensive.
And,
okay.
And it's only open at if you want to go out before 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You got to wait. And right. But I've used it once, and you know they didn't drop my boat, and it's a nice facility. But most fishermen in the summer like to get out there by 5 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And you know, and the marina over there at Edmonds, they're very good about letting you stay overnight. They'll raft you out, you know, like three or four boats out, you know, small boats, and you know, it's very inexpensive to moor there temporarily. So I mean, it's a good facility and everything, but boy, if I lived over there, I don't think I'd be going there. I'd drive up to Mukilteo, or I'd drive up to Everett, where they have 10 ramps, and they have a parking lot bigger than our memorial field over here, and so it's just.
And there's no facilities that allow boaters just to run the hoist themselves. You have to always have a staff.
There's a liability issue.
Yeah, there is one. Port of Skagit up in O'Connor has one. In fact, we took a field trip one time and went up to look at it. You have to be trained before you're allowed to run it by yourself, and you have to pay for it. It's not free. I didn't sense they get a lot of use out of it up there, but that is an option. But there's an investment to that too, and you gotta have a place to do it. The Edmonds option, they actually came to RCO the last time, 2 years ago, and got some money because the whole apparatus was starting to rust out and everything. It's going to be unsafe. But it is difficult to run because port staff has to run it. So that's why you have to wait, you know, because the port doesn't want to pay them overtime and that sort of stuff. So,
what about the trailer issue with saltwater? I mean, that's kind of gets old after a while.
I really don't think that is as big a problem as most people think. These are galvanized steel trailers, and I'm sure people have 20-year-old trailers. And, you know, I think the boat wears out before the trailer does.
Well, two wash stations.
Oh, yeah, and the wash station, you can wash it down.
Right. Yeah, my boat trailer is almost 30 years old.
Okay.
Jerry.
During crabbing season, usually starts July 1st, one of the big advantages of having two lanes on the ramp with a dock in the middle is that we have traffic coming out with people that drop their pots in the bay, and they're taking their boats out to go home, and there are others that come a little later, like me, to launch the boat. So there's a conflict on the ramp, and somebody was punched in the mouth because it ran out of turn last year. So patience gets a little bit short here. Yep. on the ramp, particularly if
Don't want that.
People that come in are not ready, or if their equipment is poor and they break down in the rink. Hasn't been any gunfire yet, but. I can't believe, with the location that we have, if you go to Sitka, Alaska, they have a beautiful double ramp, dock down the middle, plenty of parking. Over here at Keystone, as remote as that is, that has, they have a wonderful ramp there. And yet for this location and everything that's offered commercially here from a tourist standpoint, to have just a single ramp is a, it's a serious shortcoming. It's really a disappointment.
Okay, any other public comments not related to the agenda? Okay, then we'll go on to the second reading. This is where we'll take action on these items. And the first one is the communication consultant selection.
The interview team, which consisted of Commissioner Tucker and staff, senior staff, we interviewed three different consultants that submitted their request for qualification packets. I think they all had their pluses and minuses. They're all actually pretty good. And essentially what I would ask the commission is to allow staff to enter into the committee's number one selection, to enter into negotiations for a contract. The contract would have to come back to the commission for approval. And this, and we'll talk about it the next item too, of the engineering, we actually rank ordered the three consultants in this case so that should we not be able to negotiate an acceptable contract with the first one, then we reserve the right to move on to the second one. So I'd like to have that permission to do so.
Okay, and that'll be in the form of a motion then?
Yes.
Okay, so I move that we allow you to do just that, and negotiate a contract.
Based on the committee, the selection committee's right. Ranking.
All right. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the next one is engineering consultant selection.
Essentially the same thing, different project. In this case, Commissioner Kleinfelter was on the selection committee along with Ty Hillman, Jim, and I. We, over the last 2 days, went through four interviews, three yesterday, one today. If you remember, there were eight submittals of RFQs originally, and we narrowed that down to four. And again, all the companies are capable, but again, we had big companies and really small companies, so they all bring different capabilities to the table. But after the second, after the last interview today, we met and kind of discussed it, and I think we're ready to move ahead and contact our number one selectee and see if we can negotiate a contract. Again, we have the right to reject and go to the number two if we are not successful. And this contract will also come to the commission for approval. In both of these, we want to get them both going, especially on the Jetty Walkway project, because we know it's going to be a very long permitting process. And the sooner we can get an engineer engaged to come up with the plans, because we need the drawings to show the various agencies, Fish and Wildlife, Corps of Engineers, et cetera, so that they can make their comments and we can, you know, react to whatever their comments are. So. Same request that I have permission to engage with the number one selectee and start negotiating a contract.
So I'll make that motion.
Okay, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And with a little bit of luck, I'd like to think that in the next meeting we'll have some contracts to bring back to you.
Good. Okay, so there was no first reading discussion, only nothing on the potential immediate action, so we're to staff comments now.
Just to follow up on what Bill said, there's been a lot of questions on the AWOS system and where we are at the airport on that system. I want to caution people that when you're dealing with the FAA, we're talking a long process, almost along with the Corps of Engineers. So we've submitted our grant application. We probably won't know until June or July whether we're successful in getting that. At that time, we would engineer it, install it, probably by the end of the year, However, this system is very unique, and Bill knows a lot about it. It requires an FCC license because we're broadcasting. And that license, depending on the federal government, could take us up to a year to make it operational after we build it. So it's a long process, and I don't want anybody to think that, oh my gosh, at the end of the year, we're going to have a new AWOS system. So I just wanted to give you an update on that, and we'll keep you briefed. As soon as I hear from the FAA, I'll let you know.
Now, this is the more expensive, what, $400,000 roughly?
$400,000, they're estimating.
But the FAA pays 90%.
Right.
That includes, you know, not just the purchase of the equipment, but the engineering of it, the installation.
Because it's a radio station, it has to be monitored by an engineer, a real engineer, on a quarterly basis. So that includes monitoring costs and a lot of different things. It's not just a piece of hardware.
So that means that we'll be on, Port Townsend will be on the weather every night on the news now, right?
We'll be broadcasting.
This system, you can access it via your computer. That's one of the nice things about it. A pilot, say down Olympia, who's thinking about flying up this way, can go on his computer, his or her computer, before taking off and see what the weather is up here. But also, you probably see it with the evening news, that's how they access a lot of the weather data from around the state, as they access these systems. So, now it's in a conversation with the FAA Flight Services. Lockheed Martin does that for the FAA out of Arizona, all the West Coast. We still have our frequency, that's being reserved. There's a note amount, a notice to airmen about the UNICOM being down, and they'll keep that in effect until we tell them that we've done the AWOS or some other endgame here soon.
But that frequency is not an AWOS frequency. Right. It's a UNICOM.
We'd have to get a whole new one through the FCC.
Wouldn't we be able to keep, I'm kind of thinking of you, Bill, so wouldn't we be able to keep the CTAP but have a separate frequency for AWOS?
Yeah, it's required. The AWOS broadcasts continuously. And so it's just recording. Gets done with the report, it starts up again. So you need to have a CTAP, a common traffic advisory frequency, as well as the
AWOS frequency.
AWOS frequency.
So like I think we can keep 123,
but
we'll have something else for
whatever the FCC. Okay.
It'll just be pilots talking to pilots on CTAP.
On 123. AWOS stands for All Weather Observation System. It gives you everything from rainfall to fog to cloud height, precipitation, wind speed, wind direction, all those things that you would expect a pilot would want to know coming into a remote rural airfield. So,
when we first started discussing the AWOS, it was my understanding the initial cost was somewhat over $100,000, and now it's escalated to over $400,000. Could you explain how that's happened?
In order for the FAA to fund it and certify it, they will require a system that is compatible with CTAC. So your basic Radio Shack version of AWOS is not available to us. I tried to make that case. We're a small GA airport, and they quickly came back to me and said, no, you are a NIBIAS airport, which is a national
priority of airport system.
We're part of the national system, and being part of the national system with a approach, we are now elevated to a airport that requires a different certification.
So this is the low ball one then to get FAA funding.
Right.
This is it. The cheapest we can get.
And to maintain it and operate it, how is that different, or is there any cost difference between that and the one that's not sanctioned by the FAA?
The one that's not sanctioned, there is no maintenance requirement. It's a radio basically. It's just broadcast a loop.
Okay.
But we've been told pretty strongly that that's not available to us anymore. Matter of fact, the FAA even told us that if our UNICOM hadn't have broke, now that we have an approach, we would have had to disable it anyway, because a UNICOM is not legal on an approach.
So how much is the maintenance cost of an AWOS?
They're saying about $5,000 a year. So after we get it installed, now FAA will give us funding to service it, but we have to apply for it every year.
So we can cover those costs?
90% of that.
So 500 a year for us.
That's all I have.
Unique organization, the FAA.
Bill?
Thanks, Brad.
So were you going to add something to that, Bill?
I just, to clarify, this is a, still an AWOS 3P. Okay, so the base equipment cost of that system is about $90,000, and the remainder is engineering and construction costs. So the system hasn't really changed since what, you know, when I think Brad and I were talking about the equipment costs have not changed. It's just now we've got estimates for the engineering costs.
This sounds like the golden hammer at the Pentagon.
It is a bit, except that it's, I suppose it's, you know, it kind of, you bet your life sort of level versus, you know, look out the window and, you know, see what the cloud cover is.
Bet, take care of it.
Yeah, that's my question. Thank you.
A couple of things for me. Tomorrow's our monthly Peninsula Development District and Resource Conservation District. You mentioned it, Mike. You going to that?
Yep.
It's at 1 o'clock. Also, I'm hosting the monthly higher ed meeting with all the colleges and high school and others that are interested in that at 10 o'clock in the morning. Friday at 10 o'clock, I'm hosting a meeting of participants and others that are interested in the Seattle Boat Show, just to see how it went, what worked, what didn't work, that sort of thing, and come up with some ideas about next year. So I'll let you know how that goes, and then you know, any thoughts you might have, please let me know. Right now, the dollar cost to us was about $12,500. And it'll probably go up a little bit because I think the three of you got some expenses that now it's the end of the month, so you know, that needs to be tacked on. So it'll probably be roughly $13,000, give or take a couple hundred bucks. So, but we got some ideas. I didn't care for our location, didn't care for how we were back to back with the Marine Trade Association with the Maritime Center off to the side. You know, we're all together, but not together, and be nice to either have an end cap where we're all physically there, or at least three booth spaces all in a row or something like that. So those are the things we're going to talk about. Then also next Wednesday, Joe from Bums called me today and asked if I could be in attendance at the next Port Townsend Marine Trade Association, give a little state of the port, a little update on what's happening. So gladly accepted that. Other than that, that's it.
Okay. Public comments. Be going.
On behalf of the Northwest Maritime Center and the Wooden Boat Foundation, we'd like to extend a letter of commendation. Kyle.
Yeah.
There's original. There's original in the copy. He did a really nice job for us during the 37th Annual Wooden Boat Festival. And he was there Thursday when we met with him initially. We got great support, and particularly on Sunday afternoon, he was there, and there was a lot of boats that needed to get more space for the evening, and we've not had that kind of support in the past, and it was greatly appreciated. So I think Terry needs a real vote of positive.
We will put this in his record.
Yes, okay. I think that's an excellent thing. Thank
and
you.
Got the original.
You know, Vigo, just to throw something out to, I want back at you that, you know, like for us as a tenant in there, you guys have done a great job in the last 3 years of really working with us, or 4 years.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's been really been a pleasure to work with you guys on that.
And Bill?
Oh, two things. One is that to kind of hit a note that we didn't hit on the AWAS discussion, that it's my understanding that as soon as we file an intent to establish an AWAS, regardless of whether we have funding, regardless of whether the FAA has waived its dead chicken over it, we can get coordinated a frequency and file the FCC filing, so that the frequency process that is reputed to take so long can actually get underway. So I encourage staff to take the steps to start that process. Item two, I was at the Northwest Aviation Show on this previous weekend, something I do every year.
I was there too, Saturday.
And Larry was there too. He was on his way to the gun show. But the Port of Port Townsend wasn't there. Every nickel and dime airport from Idaho to the Oregon border seemed to be there, but you know, at some point we should think about
what is that called?
I don't know, and I can find out and report back. Larry does.
It's the Northwest Aviation Conference. It's they do it every February this time. It's mostly seminars. I won't say every airport was there, as I counted them. I went to every one of them.
But the Okanagan Ferry?
Yeah, it's, you know, Port of Olympia was there, Port of Pasco, Port of Bremerton, but they've all got, you know, 8,000 foot runways, commercial service, that sort of thing. I talked to my counterpart, the port director from Port of Shelton, who did not have a booth there, but he was there just like I was casing the joint. We did that once, 12 years ago, and that's something we can assess, you know, whether we want to do it. A lot of educational booths there, a lot of community colleges that provide aviation mechanic training, that sort of thing. A lot of vendors dealing with pilots, you know, from radios to different things, that sort of thing. But I don't know. I think we'd have to really review it, see if it would be worth it, you know, to cover the cost. And
did Jerry and Peggy from the museum, did they have a presence there?
I didn't see them.
Some other museum had a presence. Yeah. I think they were from, I think that's the museum down in
Vancouver.
Yeah, that one.
Ward was there, who built some of the hangars out there. They had a pretty good-sized booth for building hangars. But
Northwest Hangars was there.
Yeah, yeah, it's Dave Ward, yeah.
I'm behind you, Bill. I'm behind you.
Pushing.
You know who's going to work the booth then?
Yeah, there we go.
This is only one day.
Yeah.
Or is it two?
It's Saturday and Sunday. I think it's
half
day.
Yeah, it's half day on Sunday.
Do they kind of promote, like, tenants, too? Like, you know, the Spruce and... I mean, did you, like, booths that are there, like a port or an airport, I mean, are they kind of promoting what's on...
I think the airport is kind of a chamber-esque sort of thing, promoting the region's, you know, they're kind of what I suspect is done at the boat show, promoting the tenants that have businesses on the airport and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, some of the bigger ones like Bremerton, they've got a lot of empty buildings, you know, trying to... Ooh, some possible tenants to come there if they're located, et cetera. So, yeah, we can certainly take a look at it. Just...
It might be a place to market the industrial park. You know, looking for starts for that maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think there's plenty of places at the airport that could be developed with outside money, and maybe that's a place to incite some interest.
Any other public comments? Pete?
See, that Beagle was nice enough to bring up the Woodboat Foundation and the boat show last year. I think I just want to recap a little bit that that was the first year in 31 years our company has not been at the boat show. And just being brought to my attention recently, Mayor's Land Center, Woodboat Chamberlain just put another ad or had a review in Woodboat Magazine. Again, that is now promoting their Chamberlain and the purchasing of offshore product and selling our industry here short. It's a real problem when you try to develop an industry and build an employment base, and then your own supposed champions, as our team Jefferson calls them, are supported by our tax base and our tax dollars to then undersell or undermarket and export our money offshore. You're not going to build an economic base that's going to be strong and vital for our young community when you take our money from us and sell our own companies offshore. So one of the key things I want to make sure as we go into our economic development talks and summit is making sure that those organizations know that is an appropriate business to go around taking other people's business for their profit when they're running under a non-profit thing. One of the big issues is obviously if those retail resources that are going into there don't substantially fund the educational programs, it's illegal. So we got to make sure that we're not taking other people's money and time and helping support an agency that is potentially not doing what is under the IRS charter to do. So I'd love to make sure that hopefully a lot of the public start to understand what's really going on out there and how we're losing economic potential in this community by selling it short. So, thanks.
Thank you, Pete. Any other public comments? Okay, commissioner comments.
Well, I'd like to ask if we've made any headway in developing a some sort of a matrix that is going to help us in prioritizing our capital projects as well as our maintenance projects, and putting a system together that's going to help us map this out in the future, not just next year, but 5, 10 plus years out.
That'll be at the March 12th workshop. I talked to you a little bit the other day about some ideas that staff has about doing site evaluations, you know, and kind of prioritizing everything to, it's part of the 2015 budget, knowing that most of it will flow into 2016, 2017, but putting some timelines to various possible projects. So, yeah.
Okay.
And Eric has been working on a matrix. So.
Has he? Okay, good. Good, and he's making progress in that. Okay. Also, I'd like to, on Pete's last comment and the fact that we support the EDC and so on, I mean, what he said there is, you know, that's a lot of very serious information that to consider.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to it again in my audio notes to really grasp the whole concept.
Well, it's
or call Pete, maybe.
There you go. Go have a look at his foundry, but I just... That's really weighs heavy on me. I just want to make that comment. And the fact that we support the EDC, and the EDC champions the Maritime Center. I mean, I remember the center. I've got my paper out there, too. I mean, I invested money when they first put it together. But when I hear things like that, that's really, you know, it's just a way, I just want to make the statement. It weighs very, very heavy on me. That's it.
Okay.
A couple of comments. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the matrix as well. And, you know, at one point, I don't know if it was before we started DART this year or not, we had talked about maybe a weekend, you know, seminar where we would talk about some issues. Remember us discussing that? Is that still a possibility to do?
What do you guys want?
You mean a retreat?
Yeah, retreat. That's the word I was looking for. It could be interesting to get the matrix, kind of talk about it at the workshop, and then maybe schedule a retreat following that where we could kind of kick it around more seriously and apply that with budget talks as well. And yeah, I had a couple of discussions since our last meeting about budget, and I'm in favor of, you know, keeping that process moving ahead at a fairly active rate. I think the more we talk about it, the better. I did go to the Peninsula Regional Transportation Organizational Meeting. Sat with Commissioner Sullivan, great meeting, interesting meeting. The little sea change, Mr. Babineau is gone now, is no longer the active representative there. They brought in a different person.
Been there a long time.
Yeah, and that was due to budget cuts, so there were budget cut concerns, and so he was changed over. Gordon Nielsen spoke pretty eloquently there and talked a lot about how, just like what President Obama mentioned today about this, the transportation budget and wanting to see a lot more money get chunked into that budget. And so there was some discussion at the RPTO about that as well, that could really be changing some things in the future. So
did they talk about the ongoing legislation down the field, or there's any hope to get more money, or?
They did, and it sounded like the war between the I-5 corridor and the outlying areas was still pretty
present. That's been the
present
forever ongoing battle, you know, with the, you know, the rural counties.
Right.
Trying to fight for every penny. But every time you run a matrix, which they do in those cases, you know, they say, well, how many citizens will be served in Jefferson County by a dollar? And then they'll say, well, how many are going to be served in Pierce County or King County? It's, you know, nails, it's ended up there.
Yeah. Now, one thing that does have traction is freight and freight corridors. And it's like 101 is a freight corridor. And particularly with the tribes, too. They have, you know, same concerns we do in terms of good roads. And using that, the freight argument seems to have some weight. And so Gordon also indicated that in terms of Jamestown, that's the direction they were pushing on, was the freight aspect.
Okay, I went to a few things this week. One thing I did this afternoon was I did an actual on-the-ground exercise back in a boat trailer to make sure that the bird's eye view of the parking configuration is going to work in real life. And we used my boat, Jerry. We didn't need to get yours, and we only needed one. But anyway, Tyke Hillman, who's a very capable guy that's done a lot of the work on our docks and so forth and engineered all of our travel lifts and AB dock and all that, was out here and wanted to make sure that the turning radiuses and the parking spots where they're located now and eliminating that one lane would actually work in real life with the boat in back of a rig. And we tried it, and it worked beautifully. So I have Tyke's blessing on that, which is good. Larry and I were at an award thing at the county commissioner's office. The award was for our participation in the South Townsend Bay DNR mooring buoy alignment, realignment. What that started out as was, and actually it was in conjunction also with the Mystery Bay mooring field realignment. Yeah, which we participated in, and also I didn't participate in that one. I participated in the South Townsend Bay one. But in a nutshell, what happened was there were concentrations of boats sufficient to warrant, it's called a marina under Department of Health laws, and that made the shellfish beds not harvestable. So on the ground group of folks, in the MRC, the Department of Health, the DNR, the port, a lot of stakeholders got together to try to figure out ways to make it so that these densities could be thinned out enough so that the shellfish could still be considered good for harvesting. So they did one in Mystery Bay that worked out well, and we just did one down here in South Townsend Bay and worked out well. And the MRC ended up getting the buoys placed out there that makes it a voluntary, no anchor zone for inside. You can only use the mooring buoys, and the illegal buoys were removed. Anyway, that project came to completion, and it was the first project given a governor's award for communities working together and getting stuff done. And so we got to accept that award on the part of the port. And energy lunch is another committee that I work on a lot and go to. And this energy lunch was kind of an interesting one. It was talking about waste and turning waste into energy. And they were doing so with like waste from sewage plants and waste from garbage dumps and things like that. And the interesting thing about it was an interesting idea, but the most intriguing thing to me was that we always, our energy lunches have become well enough known now that we have county commissioners and PUD commissioners from neighboring counties come to our energy lunch to discuss these things with us. And we got into a discussion in the fact that the people that came to talk to us about waste had been doing this in ports in Germany and very successfully. They were running their ports practically on garbage by taking the garbage, separating it out, selling the metals for money and burning or gasifying the other stuff for heat. And we came to the realization that we're not as big as Hamburg, but the interesting dynamic that came from this is that the communities are starting to work together to realize that if the garbage from Clallam County and our garbage were combined, then we could have sufficient to be able to actually do something. And so whether or not that happens as far as garbage or not is one thing, but the fact that the PUD commissioners and the county commissioners and me as a port commissioner were sitting around talking about ways to collaborate on doing things and was really inspiring to me. So that's all I have. And so now this will be the end of this meeting. Next public meeting will be a workshop Wednesday, the 12th at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, the workshop will be at 9:30, and then the regular meeting will be at 1 o'clock. And so we're now going to adjourn into an executive session for litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110I.
For 25 minutes with potential action afterwards?
Potential action afterwards. So all you guys who really want to know, you can hang around out there for 25 minutes, and we'll tell you. This is now adjourned to recess.
Regular session.
And someone want to make that motion? Larry just said.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay, the motion is to authorize Larry to enter into the agreement that we just discussed in executive session.
And I'll second that motion.
Subject to the port being advised who the recipient of the environmental dollars are going to in the course of approval of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, it may still take a few weeks, to be able to identify who that recipient is yet.
So now I guess we can give this document out to all the members of the public who were tenacious enough to hang around.
Yeah, this document.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And you seconded the motion?
I did.
And we're meeting's adjourned.